I got saved when I was like 8 or 9 years old. The First Assembly of God Church right here in El Dorado. I used to work in this building stocking groceries. On the left side was the jelly and the pickle aisle right here. And then the next aisle was where the beans and the rice and the flour was. And right close to where the booth is back there, that's where the checkout stands were. And I walked every square inch of this building. I know it. But it didn't look like this then. But thank God, praise the Lord, that this is a building that's used where people can come together and get in the Word of God and find out what God wants for them. But anyway, I got saved in the Sunday school class over there, First Assembly on Ralston Spring. And then about a couple of weeks after that, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, my twin brother and I. And we laid down there at the altar. We had altars, and we were praying. And the next thing you know, we were laying on our back. I was 9 years old, and I was speaking in other tongues that the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. And we spoke in tongues for about an hour. And when we woke up, only the lights were on at the front of the church. Everybody was gone. The whole building was dark except for the lights at the front. And my mother and my pastor were sitting there waiting on us to stop speaking in tongues so they could go home. Thank God they didn't get us up and say, listen, we got to quit. But we got a good dose of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance? Amen. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. I like, they got these country western songs. They call them drinking songs, you know. Well, God will give you a drinking song if you yield yourself the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I've learned that as I flow with the Holy Spirit like that, well, then he does great and mighty things. But anyway, I grew up in church. Graduated from El Dorado High School, went to college in Conway, Arkansas. We had a revival there in Conway. It was called a Jesus Revival. And there was one man who was walking around all over the campus, and he had a big Bible under his arm. It looked like a big family Bible. I mean, it was big. I mean, if you're carrying a little New Testament around, it looked like a big family Bible to most people. And I was amazed because he was telling everybody Jesus loves them. He had this one finger up, and his name was Barry Flanagan. And he'd say, Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming again. Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? And I could see him outside of my dormitory room on the second floor at State Hall in Conway, Arkansas, when it was a state teacher's college. And when I saw him, I thought, man, who does he think he is? I was kind of jealous. I kind of got a little anger come up in me. I didn't realize it, that religious spirit in me that I allowed to come into my life. You know, how many believes that a religious spirit can come to you? Yeah, we have to fight that thing all the time. And so here's Barry telling everybody about Jesus, witnessing. And he would get in line at the cafeteria. There'd be people behind him and people in front of him. And he would turn around and just preach the gospel to them. And we were amazed by that. Well, to make a long story short, we had a big revival there at the University of Central Arkansas in Conway. And they dedicated 2 pages of the school college annual to the Jesus people on campus. And they had like maybe 150 of us sitting up there, and everybody had their finger up like this. And Barry Flanagan was right there in the front of the group. Everybody had their Bible, and we had the one-way sign. And we were, the whole campus, we're not talking about a Bible college. We're talking about a secular college. The whole campus was affected by the Spirit of God. They had a meeting one time in one of the classrooms where they had TV crews up there taking pictures of us singing and worshiping and praising God. Now, how many believe that the Holy Ghost can get out there outside of the church walls? Of course he can. And so anyway, we were witnessing, teaching and preaching, laying hands on the sick, casting out demons, leading people to Jesus, you know, having a high heel time. And then I felt the call of God on my life to preach. I got to preach in me. And I said, well, what do you do when you go into the ministry? Ah, go to Bible college. Yeah, we went to Bible college, and from that point, everything began to go downhill, because I learned how to get real religious. I learned some things that were good. I found my wife there. Why don't you stand up just a minute and wave to everybody? Isn't she pretty? Amen. And, you know, we get married, we have children, and just life goes on. And we started pastoring churches. Oh, by the way, when I met Pastor Jerry, it was in Luann, Arkansas. I can't even tell you how many years ago it was, but I was like 19, and we were at the church in Luann, the Assembly of God Church, and we had a flatbed trailer, and we stood out there and sang and preached the gospel outside of the building. Do you remember that, Dennis? Dennis was there. And this is Dennis Murphy, my brother, and the Lord. We can tell you some stories about what happened back then. But he went to, CBC? And I went to Southwestern. He went north. I went south. He gets married. I get married. And then we start pastoring. We get churches, and I'm pastoring. And, you know, I didn't realize some things. Because, you see, I can come from a history or a family of preachers. So that I could have my grandfather or my father sit down and tell me about the ropes of the ministry or anything. I just thought everybody loved each other in church. I just thought that everybody, there was no problems in churches. We're Christians. There's no problems. We just love Jesus. Boy, did I ever have a rude awakening. Not only a rude awakening, I got a slap in the face, I got a kick in the rear end, I got run over by a bus, thrown under the bus, ground up in the grinder, and spit out. Now, when you're not expecting that, it shocks you. And so, therefore, you know, my daddy was not a church-going man. He didn't give his heart to Jesus until right before he passed away. I don't remember my daddy ever praying. And every time, you know, I would try to talk to him about Jesus before he got saved, he would get up and leave the house. He would get in his truck and absolutely leave the house. I would come home from Bible college. We'd pray over the food. And I'd start praying, and the Spirit of God would move in a powerful way. And I would look up, and my daddy would be gone. The Holy Ghost got on him so much, he had to get up and leave. You know, so I don't have a history of people telling me, you know, about the Christian life. I just kind of learned it as I went. How many are there right now? You're learning it as you go. You're traveling the journey. And so I did not understand very clearly that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know. In fact, I was kind of scared to talk about the devil. It bothered me to talk about demons and evil spirits. I like to talk about angels. And Jesus and God in heaven. But I didn't like to talk about demons. You know, it just kind of bothered me. And so, therefore, the devil took advantage of me. And he said, well, I'm going to play with him. I'm going to try to put his light out. And do you know there's a ruling council in hell that's watching every Christian? You know, God wants you and the devil wants you. God's seeking after you and the devil's seeking after you. If you're just a nominal Christian, you go to church, you sing your song, you shout howdy doody down the aisle. Monday comes and you just live a normal life and you're not letting your light shine. You're just a number to the devil. Just a number. But then when you start casting out demons and healing the sick and leading people to Jesus, guess what? They know your name. And then the plan starts. Then they start working. And so therefore, I had the devil work real hard to try to put my light out. In fact, he did, you know, and that's a long testimony. But what I'm trying to get over to you is that the Lord wants you to know that he's with you. He's your standby. He is your advocate. He's given you the helper, the Holy Spirit, to help you. But you have to be aware of the fact that there are demons and evil spirits. There's plots and plans of the wicked one and devices, cunning devices. He's been doing this for a long time. He's anointed to do what he does, is to keep you from letting your light shine. You know, the Bible says that if you put your light under a bushel, you know, he don't do that. He wants you to set it up on a hill so everybody can see the good works that God does to you. So when the light shines, that's when people come, you see. And so, therefore, he does that with individual Christians. He does that with churches. He does it with families. And every one of us can tell of an incident of yourself or probably somebody you know or a church that was on fire at one time. Great things were happening. And then the next thing you know, it's no more. Any of us can have the same testimony that at one time in our life we were on fire for God, and the next minute we're all messed up. I don't like being messed up. And I'm 61, right? Yeah, Nancy tells me. She helps me. When you get to ask your wife how old you are, you're getting really old, you know. But what I'm trying to say, I've been around the mulberry bush more than once. I've fallen down and I've gotten back up. I've fallen down and I've gotten back up. I fell down and I didn't want to get back up, you know. But thank God, because the scripture says that we didn't choose him, he chose us, that we may bear fruit to give glory to God, so that we can ask anything in his name and he'll do it for us. That's in John 15:16. Powerful verse of scripture. So I'll just put it to you real plain. I backfled. I got away from God because I got hurt. And the main thing that the enemy will try to do, and the main device that he uses, is the spirit of offense. How many know it's real easy to get offended? How many have been offended about 100 million times in your life? And that's what he does. He knows how to do it. They know how to orchestrate circumstances to get you into an offense with a church, to get you offended at your wife or at your husband, get mad at your dog, get mad at your air conditioner that's not working. They know how to do it. And so if you're not careful and if you're not watchful, the Bible says be vigilant, because your adversary is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, the enemy can't get you if you're walking with God. I've had people say, well, you know, every time I get close to God, I'm just afraid the devil's going to get me. That's a lie of the enemy. If you're walking close with the Lord and you're walking in the light as he is in the light, the Bible says the wicked one touches you not. What a promise. But what does he do? He tried to get you into sin. He tried to get you into the cares of this life. He tried to get you into offenses. And one day, somebody told a lie on me, and everybody believed it. How many of you have had a lie told on you? And everybody took the other side and didn't even want to listen to what you had to say. How many have been there? Now, that'll make you mad, won't it? And you know, the devil, if he can do it and make it last 10 years to the point where you get to the point where you give up, he's got time. You know, he knows how to do it. So one day, I just simply, after going through a series of incidents and with church people, you know, and I is a church people, but sometimes the enemy will try to get your brethren in your own household to turn against you or say things that they really don't know what they're saying. We know one man that did that, and that was Peter. One minute Jesus asked him a question and he said, Peter, you're hearing from the Spirit of God. And then in the next breath, he asked him another question and he answered him. And then Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, because he yielded to the enemy. How many know that you can yield to the enemy and say things and not realize that you're doing it? You know, he's tricky. So that's why you have to stay close to God. That's why you have to stay in the Word of God. Hide the Word of God in your heart so that you won't sin. And so therefore, this one day, I stood up in my kitchen over here off of Champagneau. We were living in a small apartment. And I stood up there. My children went over there watching TV. They were playing. They were real little. And I had gotten a letter in the mail from somebody. And I didn't like the contents of the mail or the letter. And this is what I said. I said, if they don't give a expletive deleted, I don't give an expletive deleted. And little did I know, that began my descent into a backslidden state. Now, I felt in my heart that I was right in the situation and that they were wrong. And it really doesn't make any difference whether you're right or wrong or whether they're right or wrong. The devil don't care about any of it. If he gets you into that offense and not forgive, then that's when he gains legal entrance into your life. Legal entrance. The wicked one, where John said he touches you not, he has the ability to touch you. And he took his sweet time about it. And I went from pastoring a church, preaching and teaching, leading people to Jesus, praying with people to get filled with the Holy Ghost, to going to the casino and playing the slot machine and going up to the bar and ordering Maker's Mark whiskey and drinking it with my friends. Is that mind-boggling? Don't look at me like that. You don't have to raise your hand if you've ever done that. But I'm just trying to be real transparent with you. And then the next thing you know, I went 10 years without opening my Bible. It got to the point where I would be watching things on TV that a Christian should not be watching. And one day I remember very well, I saw my Bible on a bookshelf while I was going into the living room, sit down in my easy chair and watch this TV program that was ungodly. I saw my Bible. Where can I put this? Okay, I hid it. I covered it up because I didn't want to see it. See, conviction. See, the Lord was trying to tell me, hey, what are you doing? You know, and the enemy, he was clapping his hand. Man, the ruling council in hell, they said, well, we got him now. And this is what happened about 4 years ago. The Spirit of the Lord came into my house and he manifested himself by his holy presence. I was making money. I was living in the world. Didn't have a problem in the world. And I woke up one morning and I felt that familiar presence of Yeshua. And it stayed in that house for about a week. I couldn't even turn the TV set on and watch Mayberry, Barney Fife. It just was repulsive to me. Everything that had to do with this world, I was walking in a presence that I felt when I was a little boy when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was really turned up into fifth gear. It really got my attention. And thank God, in the Word, it says that He said that you didn't choose me, I chose you. And He just came to me. And I yielded to that. And I told Nancy, I said, listen, God is moving in my life. And you remember it well. Sometimes I walk around in the house and I just start crying. I said, wow, isn't this something? After all the things that I've done, after all the things that I've said and all the ways I've acted, the Lord's still looking and He's seeking, He's wooing me. And I yielded to it. And one of the first things that He began to talk to me about was the power in the name of Jesus. I'd preached on it, but He brought it back to my remembrance to study about the power in the name of Jesus and the authority of the believer and getting in the Word of God. See, I couldn't quote scriptures that I used to quote when I was preaching. I couldn't remember any scriptures. I was so full of the world, so full of what was on TV, so full of listening to rock and roll music, Bob Dylan, Clearwater Revival, the Moody Blues, Elvis, could sing. I was in the world. I was so full of that, I couldn't remember any scriptures that I used to preach. And then the Holy Spirit, God began to speak to me. He said, now you can pray in other tongues. And I said, really? And I started praying in the Spirit. And the more I prayed in the Spirit, guess what happened? Every bit of the scriptures that I had in memory began to blossom and began to flow. It was powerful. I said, wow, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Praise the Lord. I remember that. If you know, all these things, these scriptures and the Spirit of God began to deal with me in a powerful way. And then here's one of the main things that He began to deal with me about is He took me back to where I missed it. And it was the offense, you see. It was the unforgiveness that I allowed into my life, you know. And I want to read, Are you getting anything out of this? Okay. Now, I'm just an average and ordinary person, okay? I got Jesus in me. He's no respecter of persons. What He does for me, He can do for you, okay? There's no great people in the kingdom of God. We're all on the same level. There's only one master, and that's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the great shepherd. Hallelujah. Now, you may be a prophet, you may be an apostle or whatever, but let me tell you, I put my pants on like they do. You know, we kind of put titles on people, you know, and we're mesmerized by people. But the one that we need to be mesmerized by is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, you see. And in these last days that we're living in, folks, if the most important thing to do right now is to get your roots deep in Jesus and stay close to the Lord, you know, and stay away from offenses. And I want to, instead of reading it, I'm just going to tell you, okay? In Matthew 18, you look at it later, it talks about how Peter said, Lord, how often should a man forgive someone 7 times? And, you know, Peter, I'm sure he was thinking, man, that's pretty good, 7 times. He said, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And then he goes on to tell the story. He said there was a master that had all these people that owed him this money, and one man owed him like $2 or $3 million. I don't know exactly how much it was, but I'll just say it was a large amount of money. And then he brought all of his accounts up to date, and he was wanting his money. And he got the servant, and he said, I want my money, and I want my money now. And, of course, the servant said, Master, I don't have it. I have no way of paying it. Have mercy on me. He said, if you don't pay this, I'm going to put you and your wife and all of your children in prison until the debt be paid. Now, that's not a good scenario, is it? In fact, that's bad news. But what he did was he fell on his face before the master, and he began to worship him. And, of course, they had mercy upon me. And the master had compassion upon him. And guess what happened? He didn't give him an easy payment plan. He didn't defer the payment. He didn't reduce the debt. The Bible says that he forgave the debt, lock, stock, and barrel. Oh, happy day. And so he's happy. He gets up. He prays. Thank you, Master. So he goes home, and somebody owes him about $50. And he says, I want my money, and I want it now. And the man said, well, I don't have it. Deja vu. And he said, I want my money and I want it now. And the Bible says he grabbed him by the neck, put him in the prison, and then his servants saw it, and they went to the big boss, and they were grieved at what they saw, and they told him about it, and he said, go get him and bring him here. And he said, listen, I forgave you such a great debt. How come you couldn't find it in your heart to forgive such a small debt after I was merciful to you? I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version of this, okay? And the Bible says that the master was wroth. Do you know what wroth means? It means angry. Now, I hear a lot of people say that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Well, there's conditions to that. Because God can get mad at you. And some people say, well, you know, God understands me and what I'm going through and all the things that I've, my sins and everything. You see, I thought that. And by the grace of God, He didn't deal with me according to my sins at that time. He could have. How many of you got children? Okay. I remember one time my brother and I, we were taking a bath, my little twin brother. We were about 5 or 6 years old. And we had a tall ceiling in the bathroom, and we were sitting in the bathtub, And Nancy says, we got till 7:30, they told me. Okay. Thank you. My helpmate helping me. But I remember we would put our hands in the water, and we would squeeze that water and make it go as high as we could till we hit the ceiling. And that was a little contest we were having. And the water would hit the wall, the ceiling, and drip. But we had wallpaper on the wall in that bathroom. And how many know that when you get water on the wallpaper, it makes stains? Well, I could hear my daddy walking down the hallway, and I could hear the door open, and he opened the door, and he saw what we were doing. No, we were just having fun, trying to get the wall wet, get the ceiling wet. He said, son, you're getting water everywhere. You're making stains. Quit that. Stop it. He shut the door. We could hear the footsteps disappear. Guess what we did? We were back at it. And about the third time he opens the door, I mean, we were just enjoying life. He didn't say anything then. He took his belt off. And you haven't lived, and you've been beaten with a cowboy belt in wet water or in a bathtub full of water. He was splashing water all over the wall. And I said, what is he doing? He's getting more water on the wall than we are, you know. But see, judgment had come, you see. And thank God during all those times that I was at the casino and I was putting that $20 in that penny slot machine and drinking my little mixed drink and acting crazy and sitting there listening to Elvis music. You can only listen to Hunka Hunka Bonnie Love so many times, you know. Then you have to start drinking so you can start enjoying it, you know. All that time, I learned to say some cuss words that I never said before. There's some words that just come right out. Listen, once you give in to the flesh and start walking in the law of sin and death, the devil just don't bring a little bit in. He brings the whole shooting match in. He says, y'all come on. And if you stay with him in the flesh, you'll give him into anything and everything possible. How many's ever been there? But thank God he didn't deal with me according to my sins. He's merciful. Now, does that mean he condones that? No, he didn't condone it. But he knows how we are. He knows we're frail. He just knows us. But let me tell you, judgment time came. Judgment time came. He pulled the belt off. And I got spanked one day. And he got my attention. And then he began to wound me back. Thank God that we can make a decision to come back to God. If anybody here is a backslider, you're not right with God, thank God you can come back to God. Now you say, okay, now you've been tainted, Gary. You've been touched by the world. You know, you used to preach the gospel. You used to lead people to the Lord. And so now here you are. What's going on in your life now? Well, let me tell you something. My wife and I, we preach. If you're within 3 feet of us, I'm going to ask you if you know Jesus. I'm going to tell you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm going to tell you that Jesus heals, he saves, and he delivers, and that he's coming back. And we started doing that, and I asked God to forgive me of all my sin, and he did, thank God. And now we have testimony after testimony after testimony of people getting healed right out in the parking lot. People getting saved and people getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in another tongue. And it's 7 times greater than it was before. Hallelujah. It's greater. We're having so much fun. And he said, well, what about all that mess you did back then? I said, that's history. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward to the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so now I have the anointed one in me, and I've learned this, is to walk holy and pure before God. You see, for a while there, we thought, well, we're the righteousness of God in Christ, and we are. But yet, you have to live righteously. He calls us to be walking and living right. And there's a teaching now that's coming out where people, you know, are kind of leaning hard on the grace of God. You know, when my brother and I were doing that in the bathtub, you know, getting water all over the well, we were leaning hard on the mercy of my daddy. You know, now about the third or fourth time the door opened, he's pulling the belt off. You know, God will not always put up with our wickedness. We know he's merciful. But then, according to his word, he has to do what he says according to his word. And then he will punish. He'll get your attention. And then he says over in John chapter 15 and verse 6. I'm going to turn over here. Well, anyway, let me quote it to you. But he says that if we bear fruit for the kingdom of God, you see, if we don't bear fruit for the kingdom of God, then he lays the axe to the root. And then he takes the branches and throws it into fire to be destroyed. But then if we bear fruit for the kingdom, then he'll prune us so that we may bear more fruit. Is that simple enough? Well, I was at a point where I could almost hear the axe being laid to the root. But thank God he started pruning. Oh, thank God for the mercy of God and the love of God. And so whenever I got into that unforgiveness, according to Matthew 18, we go back to that story about the tormentors. Jesus said, he's telling the parable, he says that the master was wroth with him and he called him wicked because of his unforgiveness. And then it says that he turned him over to the tormentors. Those tormentors are the demons and the evil spirits that come in when we make a choice to get out of the love of God. Now, when we pray for people, I pray for a lot of folks on the street. And, you know, in Mississippi, if you ever ask anybody if they're saved, everybody's saved in Mississippi, you know. The same way in Arkansas. Do you know Jesus? Oh, yeah, I know Jesus. Well, there was a store there in Greenville, Mississippi. And the two women got out of their truck, and I was fixing a windshield. I have a windshield business, and I was repairing a windshield in front of a liquor store in Greenville, Mississippi. And I know the owner of the store, because at one time, you know. And they came out with armloads of, you know, Jack Daniels and vodka and whatever, and you know, they were going to have a party, I guess, that night. And they asked me what I was doing, and I said, well, I'm fixing a windshield. And they said, well, can you come look at our windshield? And I said, they had a big rock pack in the middle of the windshield. I told them how much it was. They didn't have any money. You know, I said, well, they spent it all in there, you know. And I said, well, do y'all know Jesus? And they said, yeah, we know Jesus. And one driving the truck, she said, I sang in the choir at church. And I said, well, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. And then the next question I asked them, because you see, he sent us forth. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about. He went about. He started here and he went there and he went here and there. And he went about doing what? Doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we just started doing that. And so the lady on the passenger side, she said, my whole body is on fire. My arm and my leg is on fire. I've had a stroke. I can't feel nothing. I can't write. I can't walk. And she was dragging her leg like this. And I grabbed her hand. I said, squeeze my hand. She said, I can't. I can't feel nothing. Now she completely, totally paralyzed. I'm out there in the parking lot with my shorts on. I've been working all day. I smell pretty ripe at about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a hot day that day. And I said, well, let me say something to you. Her name was Tammy. I said, God can heal you. Do you believe that? She said, yes, I need help. I'm in pain. And so I said, well, I got some oil in my car. And when we get through with this windshield here, y'all sit there. I'm going to be right back to you. And I'm going to anoint you with oil. And I got over to her, and I started talking to her about healing, how Jesus died on the cross for her sins. With his stripes, we are healed. And I said, Tammy, before I pray for you, you say you're a Christian. I need to ask you something. I said, do you have any unforgiveness in your life? Are you mad at anybody? And immediately she said, yes, I hate my ex-boyfriend. I want to kill him. Every time I think about him, I want to kill him. And without me even asking what happened, she began to volunteer the information to me. She said, we were living together for about a year. Red flag goes up. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you ain't supposed to be living with nobody without a ring or a piece of paper. Can you say amen?
Amen.
A lot of folks don't know that in the church. I ain't talking about the world. It's no great wonder the devil's tormenting people. You know? And so I said, well, you can't hate him. It's not right what he did to you. But she said, we were living together for over a year, and come to find out he had HIV positive and he didn't tell me. And I said, well, no wonder you hate him. But here's what the Bible says. You're not allowed, if you're a believer, you're not allowed to hate anybody. You're going to have to forgive him, because you've been forgiven of such a great debt. You're going to have to let it go. Now, God's going to take care of him, and it's not right what he did, but that's between him and God. But in your situation right now, you're going to have to let it go. I said, are you willing to do that? And she said, yes, my arm is hurting, you know. I said, sure, okay. And I said, let's pray the prayer. And she prayed the prayer. She said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for being wicked. Somebody said, what about the man that did that to her? Well, he was wicked too, but she's wicked by having aught against him, by hating him. Can you see that? And so anyway, she prayed the prayer, and she said, Lord, forgive me for being wicked, and I let it go. I forgive Bobby for what he did to me in the name of Jesus. And here she is sitting with her feet out in the parking lot, sitting in the passenger side of that truck with the door open. Yeah, the door had to be open. But anyway, she began to cry and began to weep. And all of a sudden, she stands up like this, had both hands in the air, and she said, fight me. Fight me. Try to fight me now. And I'm looking at her sister, and I'm looking at this lady over here, And there were three guys that were walking down the street that wanted a ride with them. They hopped in the back of the truck. And they were sitting there waiting for them to take them downtown. And there was about five or six people looking at all this. And she's wanting to fight me. And I looked at her sister and I said, well, why is she doing that? I'm trying to help her, you know. And I just stood my ground. She plopped down in the seat. And then all of a sudden, she started shouting, praise the Lord! Hallelujah! She was rubbing her arm like this. She said, I'm healed! I'm healed! Praise the Lord! And then she started running all over the parking lot, screaming and hollering. She got out to the highway, and she was screaming and hollering. The cars were coming by. Pray! She took her arm out there and rubbing it. Look! I'm healed! I'm healed! It got wild. And it reminded me of the story of the man in the Bible who did what? He went walking and leaping and praising God. I told her sister, I said, go get her and bring her here, because if she gets run over by a car, I don't know if I can raise her from the dead or not. I mean, I'm not going to push the envelope. And we got it on video. I would like for you to see it. But anyway, and then I said, now squeeze my hand now, Tammy. And she squeezed my hand. And I had to ask her to let go because you're hurting my fingers. It's like I was holding hands with a truck driver, you know. And then she squatted down and sat up five times in a row, gloriously, powerfully healed, because we found out what the problem was. She had an unforgiveness. Can you see what an ought or an unforgiveness will do to you? Can you see how easily that it can beset you? So you have to stay on guard for that. And I've got about 30 seconds, and we're going to dismiss. I hope that I've said enough, you know, to help you learn some things. Whatever you do in these last days, don't get mad at anybody, don't stay mad at anybody, and have a forgiving spirit. And then the wicked one will touch you not. So there's a lot of people we pray for, and we try to get them healed, and they can't get healed. Because we just lay hands on them and just, okay, well, maybe next time, you know. When really, we find their sin. We find out where the door was open. You know, I've been in the pest control business, and we go into people's homes and get rid of rats in their house and mice. And we set traps and set poison out and kill all the varmints. But you know one other thing we did? We looked everywhere to find out where they were coming in. And once we found the entrance, we took care of that and sealed it. And then they had no more problems with the mice. Can you say amen? Can you see how that works? Okay.